$454 billion.
Wow.
That's Anthropic's latest funding round. Billion. With a B.
It's incredible.
It really makes you think, all this money pouring into AI, everyone's talking about this global AI revolution. But you know what?
What's that?
You rarely hear about Africa and all of this.
Yeah, it's true. It's almost as if Africa is an afterthought when we're talking about cutting-edge AI.
Right.
But, like, that's a mistake. You know, you can't overlook what's already happening here.
Mm.
Look at mobile money.
Yeah.
Like, the way that that exploded in Africa, completely, like, leapfrogging traditional banking.
Totally.
And now, it's more common here than almost anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about that
is
that the regulations, like, for something like M-Pesa, that all came after the technology had already taken off.
Right.
So it makes you wonder, should Africa even be thinking about regulating AI right now?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Or should we be taking a totally different approach?
Like, what needs to happen first?
Exactly. And that's what this deep dive is all about. We have this super interesting research paper. It's from Quibit Hub.
Okay.
They're an African AI research lab.
Cool.
And they're making a really strong argument against rushing to regulate AI here in Africa.
Interesting.
Instead of jumping straight to regulations, they say we need to be focusing on four key things. They call them the four horsemen.
Four horsemen.
Yeah. Like, what needs to be in place to build this strong AI ecosystem?
I like that. The whole ecosystem.
Yeah. And the first horseman is all about data.
Which makes sense. Data is the new oil, right? Everyone's saying that. Right. And African data, it's like this massive, untapped oil field.
Huge potential.
Huge potential. But the challenge right now is the available data sets are super limited.
Yeah, I can see how that would be a problem.
And it leads to some pretty bad bias in AI.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just imagine like an AI imaging system, you know?
Okay.
And it can't even properly show a black doctor treating a white child because the data set it was trained on was so limited.
Oh, wow.
It's a real issue.
Yeah, for sure.
And it goes even deeper than just the amount of data. It's the quality and the context, too.
That's interesting.
Think about African languages. They are so complex, nuanced.
Yeah, they are.
Steeped in history and culture.
It's true.
Like, a word or a phrase can have a totally different meaning depending on the region, you know, the social situation.
100%.
And that's a more, like, Western approach to data collection. It's just going to miss that.
It wouldn't pick that up. So are there any projects trying to tackle this?
Yes. That's what's so cool is there are these awesome homegrown initiatives that are stepping up to the challenge.
Like what?
Like, you've got Massicane in South Africa.
Okay.
Kencorpus in Kenya.
Cool.
And they're creating these really incredible data sets for African languages.
Wow.
But, and the paper really emphasizes this, we have to do this carefully.
Yeah.
It's not just about the data. It's about how we store it. How do we handle it ethically? How do we keep that authenticity?
It's like owning our data. Owning the narrative.
Exactly.
And that's true for more than just language, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about healthcare data,
mm-hmm.
financial data, environmental, you name it.
Yeah.
It's all connected.
So we've got this data, massive potential, but we need to be smart about how we handle it. Which brings us to horseman number two.
Okay.
Hit me.
Digital infrastructure.
The infrastructure. Okay.
What does that even mean?
So when we're talking about digital infrastructure in this context,
mm-hmm.
we've got to consider three main things. The data centers, the connectivity, and chip manufacturing. Because here's the thing, the kind of AI that everyone's talking about, the kind that's making headlines, that requires some serious computing power.
Serious? Like, how much are we talking?
Well, to give you an idea, Microsoft spends $50 billion every year just on data centers.
$50 billion? That's more than some countries' GDP. That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how does that compare to what's happening in Africa?
So here in Africa, we only account for 1.8% of global data centers.
Really?
Yeah, and we have almost 17% of the world's population.
That is a huge gap.
It is.
Huh.
And what that means is that a lot of African data, it's actually being stored somewhere else.
Oh, I see. So then what happens to that data? Is that a problem?
Well, it raises some serious concerns about data sovereignty. If our data is on servers in Europe or the US, it falls under their laws. Their rules.
It's almost like we're giving up control just by not having the infrastructure here.
In a way, yeah.
That reminds me of all those issues we hear about with GDPR and data privacy.
That's all connected.
So not exactly ideal. But the paper does mention some positive developments happening right now.
There are, yeah. There's a growing awareness about this data center gap.
Good.
And we are seeing companies start to invest in solutions.
Like who?
Africa data centers, for example. They're putting down $500 million.
Wow.
And then you've got Teraco. They're a major player, especially in South Africa.
Okay.
But here's what I think is the most interesting part.
Tell me.
The potential for Africa to really lead in solar power data centers.
Oh, that's cool.
Because we've got the renewable energy resources.
We do.
Right here.
Yeah.
Companies like Liquid Telecom are already looking into it.
That's what I'm talking about. Imagine Africa not just catching up, but leading the way. Pioneers in green computing.
It's a real possibility.
That's incredible.
And it's essential for a sustainable future, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got the data part. We're working on the infrastructure to support it. What about the people driving this revolution?
Right. That brings us to horseman number three, talent.
Okay, let's talk about talent. So we've got this incredible asset in Africa, this young, digitally savvy population.
They're hungry.
Oh, yeah.
They want to learn. They want to innovate. They want to build new things.
They're the future.
They are. It's exciting.
It is exciting, but the paper says when it comes to the AI talent value chain, Africa is at the very bottom.
Really? We're at the bottom.
At the bottom, which is kind of a double-edged sword.
How so?
On the one hand, it's a massive opportunity.
Okay.
Right? What? We could create millions of jobs in this sector.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, there's this concern about exploitation.
Exploitation? How so?
We've already seen it happening with those Kenyan workers labeling data for OpenAI. You know that story.
Yeah.
Often they're working in difficult conditions, low wages.
Right.
So we really have to think about the ethical side of this as we're building up our AI workforce. We need to make sure everyone benefits, not just a select few.
Right, because it has the potential to lift so many people up.
Exactly. And the paper even talks about how data labeling itself could be this massive gig economy boom for Africa.
Whoa, no kidding.
With people potentially earning up to like $700 a month.
That's incredible.
So we have to start thinking now, how do we equip people with the skills for this new AI-powered world?
We're talking about education and upskilling.
Yeah.
And not just technical skills.
Right.
Thinking critically, thinking ethically, being able to really navigate this complex world.
Absolutely. Okay, so we've got the data. We're working on the infrastructure. We've got this incredible pool of talent that we need to nurture.
What's the final horseman, then?
What brings it all together?
It's all about the marketplace. Really.
The marketplace.
Yeah, like really understanding what AI can do, you know.
Okay.
Finding those use cases that make sense for Africa.
Okay.
And building a thriving startup scene that can actually make these AI solutions a reality.
So it's not just about having the tech, it's about making sure it actually does something useful.
Yeah, exactly. And it needs to be commercially viable, too.
Right. It's got to work in the real world.
And this is where I think the paper is spot on, you know, moving away from that one size fits all thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We need solutions that are made for Africa by Africans.
Okay, so what would that look like? Give me an example.
Well, imagine AI that can predict diseases.
Yeah.
Specifically for rural communities.
Oh, wow.
Or think about education. Right. Mm-hmm. Personalized learning platforms that adapt to different learning styles and languages.
Yeah, that would be huge.
Or even agriculture, AI, helping farmers get more from their land, deal with climate change, things like that.
See, that's what gets me fired up, finding those uniquely African solutions.
Exactly.
Like M-Pesa, something that starts here and then
takes off globally.
Exactly.
It's an exciting thought for sure. But just like M-Pesa, it's not going to be easy.
What are the challenges?
Well, for starters, how do these AI startups actually become profitable? Resources are often pretty limited.
That's a really good point.
Right.
And the paper mentions this idea of frugal innovation. I love that.
It's such a great concept.
It is. What does it actually mean, though?
So frugal innovation is basically about doing more with less, finding those clever, resourceful solutions that can work even with limited resources.
So it's not about throwing money at the problem. It's about being more strategic.
Yeah, exactly. And part of that is being smart about which markets you target.
Target, okay.
Yeah, finding those niche areas where there's a real need, where people are willing to pay for a solution.
So you don't need to boil the ocean, just find the right puddle.
Exactly, you got it. And the other thing the paper stresses is collaboration.
Okay, so how do we encourage more of that?
Well, we need to foster an environment where everyone feels like they can contribute, you know?
Okay.
Startups, researchers, people with money to invest, policymakers, Everyone
at the table.
Exactly. Yeah. Sharing ideas, sharing resources, playing to each other's strengths.
It's like that saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together.
100%.
Kind of like what African Code is doing.
Yes, exactly.
Creating those spaces for people to connect and collaborate.
They're doing amazing work. Hackathons, mentorship, connecting startups with funding.
It sounds like they're really building a community around all of this.
It's inspiring to see.
Okay, so let's zoom out for a second. We've talked about the four horsemen.
Data, infrastructure, talent, and markets.
Right. So how does all of this connect back to regulating AI in Africa?
So the main argument the paper makes is that while we definitely need regulations.
Of course.
Right now, it's just too early.
Too early.
Yeah, our focus needs to be on building that solid foundation first, you know, those four areas we talked about.
So get the ecosystem up and running before we start setting hard and fast rules. Exactly. If we rush into regulation too soon, we risk stifling all this amazing innovation.
Yeah, we don't want to clip their wings before they can fly.
Exactly. It wouldn't make sense to just copy and paste rules from other parts of the world either.
Right. They might not work here.
We need regulations that are tailor-made for Africa.
For our challenges, our values, our people.
Exactly. And those regulations will be much more effective once the AI scene here has had time to grow.
So it's about letting things mature organically.
And then putting those safeguards in place.
But always keeping ethics front and center.
100%. We want to make sure AI in Africa is used for good.
Absolutely. What can our listeners do if they want to be a part of this? Where do they even start?
Honestly, there's so many ways to get involved.
It's like what? Give us some ideas.
Well, you could support a local AI startup. There's some amazing ones popping up all over.
Okay, yeah.
Or maybe you're passionate about data privacy. Become an advocate for responsible data practices.
Right. Make your voice heard.
Exactly. Or maybe you're thinking, hey, I want to learn more about this stuff. There are tons of educational opportunities in the AI field right now.
Yeah, it's a booming field for sure.
It is. And the best part is, it's for everyone. Maybe you're a coder, a designer, a total tech newbie. It doesn't matter. If you're curious about AI, there's a place for you.
I love that. So it's not just about the technology itself, it's about what we do with it.
Exactly. This is bigger than any one of us, right?
Yeah.
The future of AI in Africa is not being decided somewhere else. It's being shaped right here, right now.
Yeah.
By us.
That's a powerful thought. It's been such an amazing conversation. Really got me fired up about the potential of AI in Africa.
You too. And for anyone listening who wants to learn more, check out Quivit Hub's website.
Yeah, they've got some really cool stuff on there.
They're doing some really important work, so definitely worth a look.
We'll be sure to put a link in the show notes. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. Until next time, stay curious.